Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Keith.
So happy to be back here.
Back in the same room.
Back here together. I'm back in Los Angeles after a week where we recorded the show on two different continents.
Bi-coastal. Or bi-continental.
Bi-continental. It's the newest, hottest club, bi-continental. and as Katie asked for, I brought her back a souvenir.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
What is it? It really is a tiny Big Ben.
It's a tiny Big Ben.
Oh man. Careful what you wish for, huh? It's a little... Wait, what is he going on in it?
I think there's tea inside. I think it's English breakfast tea.
This is
tea.
So great. Yeah, I'm actually really pumped about it.
Oh, okay, great.
And I love English breakfast tea, so...
It's a little miniature Big Ben in the form of a tin.
Didn't even know I wanted it to be filled with tea until it was filled with tea.
I call him Big Tin. I was in London last week, and I was in actually Copenhagen over the weekend, randomly enough. And
how was that?
Cold.
The home of Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen. And Denmark is, of course, the home of Lego.
Mm.
And a lot of open face sandwiches and herring.
Sure.
Sure. That was a hoot. And now I'm back after many hours of flying.
Yay.
Yay. So happy to be back. And because the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop. I just crash right into that for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week on the show, we'll be talking about the Oscars and if perhaps Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling could debut on the Billboard Hot 100 next week.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
How there's new music, we think, coming from Lorde on Friday. And chart news about Future, Bruno Mars, the Chainsmokers and Coldplay, Lana Del Rey, and Linkin Park, and oh, so much more. Plus, we've got an interview with rising star Dua Lipa, who debuts this week on the Pop Songs Airplay chart with her collaboration with Martin Garrix's Scared to be Lonely, and has already scored her own hit with Blow Your Mind. Mwah! She's definitely someone to keep an eye on, and we're super stoked to bring you our interview with her later on in the show, so stick around for that later. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to us on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and heck, give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions, you can always tweet us, Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. So, yes. Yes. Let's talk about the charts. Let's talk about the charts. This week on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Future debuts at number one with his new self-titled album, which earned 140,000 equivalent album units in the week ending February 23rd, according to Nielsen Music. And more than half of those units actually were driven by streams, as we've seen recently with a lot of hip-hop acts like Migos and Big Sean. It's overwhelmingly getting streaming-oriented, which is no surprise. It's his fourth number one album, and all four of those have been in a row. But... perhaps more interestingly,
could he maybe have a fifth number one like next week?
why yes. He's on his way to a historic first, back-to-back number one debuts on the chart, because his new Hendrix album, which just came out last Friday,
mm-hmm.
Only like a couple days after he announced it, I think, mm-hmm. like, he announced it, like, I think, existing on Wednesday.
It was, like, an Instagram post, and he tagged The Weeknd and Rihanna, and is like, hey, how about another project?
Sure.
And his fans said, sure.
Sure.
We're in.
That, according to industry forecasters, could debut at number one on the Billboard 200 next week, with around, like, 110 to 130,000 units. This is all very interesting.
Did you hear that there were reports this morning, Monday morning, that a third album was going to come on Friday?
I did see that story.
But it got shot down.
So his manager shot that down.
It got shot down. So that's not going to happen.
Maybe that's just a dodge. Maybe it really is coming. Maybe every Friday we have a new Future album.
We'll find out Wednesday on Future's Instagram.
Who knows what the future may bring.
Oh, goodness.
And what Future himself may bring.
Uh-huh.
Why do we think he's doing this? Why do you think he's doing, like, the 1-2 punch in a row?
Because he can. I feel like he's prolific, obviously. I mean, I think that he's just constantly making music. And I also think it's interesting that he's chosen to release things in the album format, because I feel like a lot of rappers right now, like, don't feel constricted by having to release an album. They feel like, why don't I just put the song out on SoundCloud and see how it does, or put it on Spotify? But he seems to like albums still, and he has enough material that he can just throw up another album, and he knows that his audience is going to mostly come from streaming, and that doesn't really put a lot of burden on the listener to find a second album within a week, you know?
I wonder, I mean, I would like to think, as a chart aficionado, that perhaps the concept of having back-to-back number one albums was alluring. Because otherwise, you probably would have, like, announced the two albums or dropped them at the same time. You know, like, a la Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
I wondered whether he had issues clearing a certain song that was on Hendrix, and then it came through. Maybe, you know, one of the bigger features that he has on that album.
Yeah, that could be.
And then it was like, oh, cool, this is ready now, too. Go.
Hmm.
Ready, set, go.
He hasn't pulled it off yet, but before this, when he had his last three number one albums, all those number ones came within like 7 months of each other.
Yeah. And that was notable.
Yes. That was the fastest accumulation of number ones. Outside of the cast of Glee, which is kind of wishy-washy to count. If we don't count the cast of Glee, that was the fastest accumulation of number one albums since the 60s when Herb Alpert did it, like, a little bit quicker. And that was kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if he, you know, thought, I can go even faster. I can do it in 2 weeks.
I just think there's no rules anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's like this, I feel like this might happen more often.
Well, I mean, we still are waiting for that Drake album to materialize. The more name just fell out of my brain. More life.
And maybe there will be another Drake and Future album. Remember when we were waiting for Views? What a Time to Be Alive came out with Drake and Future, so who knows?
Who knows what the future will hold? I'll just say
and
it again.
And clearly Future is making music.
So that's the big exciting news on the Billboard 200 this week. There are other debuts in the top 10. Make sure to read my story on Billboard.com, and of course check out all of our stories about the rest of the debuts on the Billboard 200. Moving on to the Billboard Hot 100 chart, Ed Sheeran is still number one for a fifth week with Shape of You. He's far and away number one still. Ahead of the pack, so he'll probably be there for a little bit. Then again, who knows? Maybe Beyonce will drop a new single this Friday. We have no idea. Elsewhere on the chart, Bruno Mars's That's What I Like hits a new peak, rising 7-4. That was the song that he performed on the Grammy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the songs he performed, because he also performed Prince.
He also performed it at the Brits. Oh, the Brit Awards last week. And Ed Sheeran performed Shape of You, too. A new remix version featuring Stormzy.
That's right, Stormzy, who's very...
very
popular
in
right
the UK
now.
And he released his own album on Friday, and that remix came out on Friday, so that also will boost Shape of You again next week.
We'll talk more about the Brit Awards in just a hot second, but first, the Chainsmokers, Paris, also hits a new high, rising 11-6. And then outside the top 10, Spring Has Sprung on the Hot 100. I'm just going to run these down real quick. We don't have to, like, really talk about them. It's just a whole lot of shaking going on. Kygo and Selena Gomez's It Ain't Me jumps 93 to 12. Maroon 5's Cold featuring Future jumps 42 to 23, and that gives Maroon 5 their 18th top 40 hit. Lana Del Rey is back on the chart. She returns with Love, which debuts at number 44. It's the first single from her upcoming studio album. But wait, we're not done. Linkin Park's Heavy featuring Ciara, which doesn't really sound like Linkin Park at all, debuts at number 52. That's from their upcoming new album. And as we just said before, we're going to talk about the Brit Awards. a song that premiered, I believe, on the Brit Awards, The Chainsmokers and Coldplay's Something Like This, debuts at number 56. And I think the song hit retail and streaming like right after the performance.
Right before, actually.
Oh, right before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we reported that morning like that it was imminent. Oh. And then it was like, all of a sudden it was just on Spotify. It was like, boom. And then all of a sudden Chris Martin singing it on the Brit stage like an hour later.
Was the rest of Coldplay performing it?
They did, yeah, because Chris Martin did his George Michael tribute on the Brits where he duetted with George Michael. That was completely solo. But for the Something Like This, Something Just Like This performance, the whole band was there.
Okay.
Yeah, Coldplay and Chainsmokers. Everybody was up on stage.
I remember ages, I don't know when it was. I remember that I think the Chainsmokers like Instagram storied or Snapchatted when they were in the studio with Chris Martin.
Yeah, because there had been rumors about a collaboration. But now it's here.
And now it's here. What, you're a Coldplay expert, and you love Coldplay.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think of this collaboration? Because to me, it sounds like it's the Chainsmokers.
I think it's going to be a massive hit song.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite thing involving Coldplay ever. I think I probably, the only fondness I have for it is because it's Coldplay, and less because of the song. The concept of the song kind of, I don't know, doesn't really sit with me.
Does it sound like it could be any old collaboration?
Sure, yeah. And the lyrics are just kind of awkward. Like, they're forced, superhuman. There's a lot of weird vowels and weird, I don't know, weird syllables in there. But I love Chris Martin, and he sounded amazing on the Brit stage. And like I said, this is going to be a huge hit, so they don't care what I think.
Well, I care what you think.
And I mean, so as you said, it debuted.
If the Chainsmokers worked with Madonna, we would be having a very significant discussion right now about this.
I like don't want to speak ill of my beloved Coldplay. But they entered at number 56, like you said, but that was, what was it, only a day of tracking? Was it Thursday or Wednesday that the Brits?
The Brits were Wednesday.
Yeah, so only a couple days.
Yeah, so it's really just like 1.5 days of sales and streams, and then a couple days of airplay.
So we'll really know next week.
Oh, yeah, it's going to do like, I'm assuming it'll be like the Kygo and Selena Gomez thing where that showed up a little early and then has a huge jump. So like really, Kygo and Selena probably should have debuted top 10 if they had held it back at the right time.
Yeah, yeah.
And same thing with, you know, who knows where the Coldplay Chainsmokers song could go.
Yeah.
The Coldplay and Chainsmokers thing kind of just reminded me of sort of unlikely collaborations, like, I wouldn't have ever thought of Chainsmokers and Coldplay working together.
It's not that off base for me just to think of Coldplay's last few years. They had I want to say it was Avicii who did the Skyfall of Stars remix that did really well for them. And then just this last year, the year before, 2016, their Hymn for the Weekend remix did really well with Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So, like, the EDM Coldplay combo has kind of come up before. I just think this is the least successful version of it so far.
This is no, what was it called? Princess of China?
Oh, it's a great song.
This is no Princess of China.
Love that song.
And I thought that was, like, when I first heard the words, oh, Rihanna and Coldplay. I'm like, that, oh, come on. Mm-hmm. And then I heard it. I'm like, okay, I'm completely an idiot. Or Beyonce and Coldplay.
Or, like, Linkin Park and Ciara.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, Linkin Park and Ciara, because, you know.
You know what it kind of sounded like to me, though, is
Ciara?
A little bit like Fort Minor.
Oh, yeah.
It's
with
kind
Holly
of
Brooke,
a,
the
exactly.
Skylar Gray.
Skylar Gray. Yeah, no, and so maybe it's, you know, Mike Shinoda's influence a little more than Chester Bennington this time around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, could the Oscar-winning, speaking of the Hot 100, could the Oscar-winning City of Stars debut on the Hot 100 next week? Maybe. We don't know. It's too early to tell, but Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, who sing the song together on the La La Land soundtrack, could debut on the Hot 100 with the track, which received the Best Original Song Oscar on Sunday. And also Emma Stone, of course, won Best Actress for La La Land, which would mean that we would have yet another Academy Award-winning actor reach the Hot 100 chart. And we've written about this before, where, you know, we actually wrote about it sort of extensively when Jennifer Lawrence was on the chart with her Hunger Games song. I just love this sort of random trivia with, you know, actors who you wouldn't expect to be on the chart.
Yeah. Then sometimes it turns into Anna Kendrick with Cups, and it's like not only on the Hot 100, but like a hit song.
Legit hit.
Yeah.
Like legit.
Yeah.
Every time I say legit, I think of like Tina Fey when she was hosting the Golden Globes. Like, oh no, this is legit. No one's going to get that. In addition to City of Stars, we'll likely see gains, of course, for the La La Land soundtrack itself, along with Justin Timberlake's show opening, Can't Stop the Feeling. As a Justin Timberlake fan,
yes.
Katie, what did you think of the performance of Can't Stop the Feeling?
I can very proudly say that I loved it. I have not always been the biggest Can't Stop the Feeling supporter, as far as like...
No, you haven't.
Because I respect Justin's catalog so much. But I thought that was like the perfect way to open the show, because it felt like one of those like montages that they do, like, you know, to open the show sometimes, with him like walking through the aisles. Like, it felt like a Billy Crystal big musical number,
right?
But it was with an Oscar nominated song. And then he started singing Bill Withers' Lovely Day, mm-hmm. in the middle of it, which, you don't know this, but is my wedding song. And I swear to God, burst into tears.
Oh,
my husband
God.
Came into the room like, what is happening right now? I'm like, Justin Timberlake is singing our wedding song, like, out of the blue. And it really just, like, hit me. So I loved it.
So it was a smash
hit. Tailor-made for me.
In the Atkinson household.
Yes.
Wow. Before we completely move on from the Academy Awards, let's talk about the Best Picture flub at the end of the show.
Oh, my God.
For those that are living in a cave, briefly what happened is that, you know...
The wrong envelope was handed to Warren Beatty, who was presenting Best Picture with Faye Dunaway. And he opened the envelope, and we saw confusion on his face, and he saw Emma Stone, La La Land, and was like, "This, I'm announcing Best Picture. Why is there a person's name here? This right. is confusing." He hesitated, did not want to say anything. Kind of wish he had just said out loud, "I think I have the actress card," but, you know, it didn't happen that way. Faye Dunaway grabs the card, sees La La Land, shouts La La Land, and then it's just, it all got swept up from there.
Snowball.
And the La La Land producers were up there and like gave full on speeches. Like,
yeah, like full,
three
like,
of them gave full speeches. I was actually transcribing one of their speeches,
yeah.
because I was writing a piece about like anti-Trump moments, political moments during the ceremony, and one of them had a really great
yes.
thing about, you know,
the first producer.
I think it was the second one, actually, that had something. But yeah, anyway, regardless, I'm like transcribing this when all of a sudden one of them cuts in and says, "We lost, actually. Moonlight is Best Picture." Warren came up and explained to the best of his ability. Turns out it was a mistake by the PricewaterhouseCooper accountants on stage.
I when I saw this, I'm like, how in the world? Because this hasn't happened. And it just made me... I'm so fascinated by it, because you just wonder how did nothing, so many things happen where it went wrong, where the accountant handed them the wrong card, and the accountant, now all this is happening within like, you know, like 30 seconds.
What I heard was that each of the accountants, there's one on either side of the stage, there's two of them,
yeah.
there's one on each side of the stage, they each get a card for every single category. Because you don't know if the presenters are going to be coming left or right.
Right.
So they each have one. And so the female accountant gave out her best leading actress card to Leo, who announced Emma Stone. And then the male accountant still had his card, gave it to Warren Beatty.
But, you know, on the envelope, it actually says. It actually says it, because if you freeze...
Actress in a leading role.
You can see it on TV. Warren is clearly holding, with him and Faye Dunaway, they're mm-hmm. holding the envelope that says it before they even opened it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean...
It would be real cool if it said it on the other side of the envelope, too. Maybe that'll be a change for next year. Because if he had seen it before he opened it, maybe he would have very clearly seen the category, you know?
Here's
some things that need to be adjusted for next year.
Okay, so our next topic before we move on to our interview. Lord. Oh, my.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. I'm sure we're not the only people to come up with that one. What in the world is going on? There's like a mysterious commercial that came out.
Yeah, it came out in New Zealand, and savvy social media users put it up on Twitter, and it was very cryptic. It is just Lord riding in the back of a car. There's a little music playing, and then it goes to a black screen, and it says NYC, and then Thursday's date, which is the 2nd, correct?
Was it NYC, or was it like some New Zealand
thing? The first
one
said NYC, March 2nd, 2017, and the second one said New Zealand, March 3rd, 2017. Yeah. Yes.
So are we assuming that it was a... Are we assuming this is like a teaser for a song, perhaps? Because
I guess there's
a cryptic website that also goes along with this as well,
yes,
that she tweeted out.
This is true. It's called... This website is imwaitingforit.com, so people are speculating that could be the name of the song, Waiting For It, or it could just mean Waiting For New Lord Music.
Right. Well, it certainly has our interests peaked.
Yes, and I mean, she's performing at Coachella in April, so it makes a lot of sense for her to get new music out before that.
Then again, you know, anything is possible, as we see with Future. I mean,
maybe she'll put out three albums by then.
Three albums. All this Friday.
You heard it here first.
let us move on to our interview with Dua Lipa.
Who we love.
She was just great.
She was delightful.
We always say delightful, but truly.
I mean, no, seriously. And I told Keith that my strongest memory, which you take this or leave
one
it.
One of the strongest memories
was the amazing boots she came in wearing. They were sock boots. Are you familiar with the term sock boots? Like where the top of the boot looks like a sock pulled up.
Okay.
And then the heels of the boot were little lighters. Like tiny little cigarette
lighters. Yeah.
They were amazing.
She
came from the fashion world,
yes.
So it makes sense that she's going to dress fabulously.
She's already collected multiple top 40 hits on the official UK singles chart, over 200 million views across her YouTube and SoundCloud channels, scored a hit single of her own on the Hot 100 with Blow Your Mind, mwah. And just this week, she hit the Pop Songs Airplay chart with Scared to Be Lonely with Martin Garrix. She's also featured on Sean Paul's No Lie, and Sean had nothing but wonderful things to say about her a couple weeks ago on this very podcast. So, you know, go back a couple of podcasts and listen to Sean Paul talk, you know, sing Dua Lipa's accolades. In fact, Dua just launched her headlining tour of the U.S. Just a few days ago, and she recently stopped by the office to chat about her whirlwind year, her upcoming album, and what we can expect from it, her days modeling before she was a full-time singer, and much more. So here's our chat with Dua Lipa. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Dua Lipa.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm excited to be here. It's nice to be in LA. The sun's shining and it's not as cold as London. So
yeah.
Feels good.
I'm in London actually kind of often.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And last time I was there, which was only like 3 weeks ago, it was
freezing.
Yeah. And I obviously live here. Well, I don't obviously live here, but it's just for me being in LA most of the time, I'm very thin-skinned, evidently.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure...
You get weak living here, for sure.
To like, Londoners, they're just like, this is nothing.
I saw people... This is our summer.
This is balmy.
And I'm all in a scarf.
And this is, yeah. You guys, and I'm using this opportunity to just wear, like, all my summer clothes
right.
again. I'm like, yes.
Finally. This is where I'm going to rattle off an amazing bunch of statistics about you. So you
okay.
can just take a second. It seems like the last year has been a whirlwind because you've had four top 40 hits on the official UK singles chart, nearly 200 million views across your YouTube and SoundCloud channels. Tons of magazines and websites have tipped you as one to watch, so no pressure there. In 2016, you also earned five top 10s on Billboard and Twitter's Emerging Artist chart. And now... You recently scored your first hit single on Billboard's Pop Songs and Hot 100 charts with Blow Your Mind. And there's more. You've got two collaborations that were just recently released, No Lie with Sean Paul and Scared to Be Lonely with Martin Garrix.
And breathe.
Katie was like, and then she can just leave.
He's like, thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
let's list your accomplishments.
It's like, we can find all that on Google. I just wanted to get that out there and say, you've had a really like striking, impressive year. How has it been for you this past year?
It's been amazing. It's been everything I could have possibly have dreamed about, everything that I've always said that I wanted to do. And if 5 years ago someone came up to me and was like, hey, this is what you're going to be doing in 5 years' time, I would disown them as a friend. And I'd be like, I don't believe you. No. This isn't going to happen. And to have, I don't know, just it's been an absolute whirlwind. And from doing like festivals to doing my own European tour to getting to work with people like Sean Paul and Martin Garrix and releasing my own music, and it's just been mental.
That's a good way of describing
mental.
It. Have you had like a moment, because it seems like you've just been like running and like
nonstop,
and like there's always a new music video that's coming out. There's like a show that you're doing. You're in the studio. Have you had a moment to sort of breathe? Really?
I've had, well, between Christmas and New Year's, I had some time to just chill out, which was quite weird. I think for the first part of it, I kept on like refreshing my emails.
Like, there's nothing there.
Are you sure I don't have to work?
Are you sure?
Are you sure I don't have to be doing anything? And it was really nice to just be at home for a little while and just kind of take some downtime and I guess reflect on the year and not be so worried that I'm not doing anything for a couple of days. And then, yeah, I guess it's a bit weird the days between Christmas and New Year's when you're kind of stuck in limbo and you don't know what the meaning of life is or if you're meant to be doing anything. And then, yeah, now getting back in the swing of it, I guess it was Be The One. We re-released it in the UK. So it's just, yeah, it's just been mental. But I'm having the best time ever. And it's just been such a nice start to 2017, so... I'm excited.
Are you in like the studio right now, like working in Los Angeles?
Yeah. So my album is finished.
Was
finished.
Is it really?
I mean, the reason, because it was meant to come out in February.
And now it's coming out in June.
And the reason I'm here is to explore potential collaborations for the album.
Uh-huh.
So I've been working with some cool people. That may or may not be on the album.
Don't you love it when you have to be like super vague?
I'm just like talking in codes. I love.
I'm sure some of the people you'd like to shout from the rooftops, but you just have to wait.
So yeah,
we'll see if they show up on the album.
It may or may not happen.
So we'll see.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, I was like, I'll save that for you. You don't need to keep going. Well, Katie and I were realizing earlier when we were researching you, like I didn't know that she was a model. And so you were a model for a time while you were a teenager?
When I first moved to London, I got scouted to start doing some modeling, but I never really got any good jobs because I was never the right size. And it came to a point where...
Which is hilarious because you're incredibly thin and beautiful. Like, you know, a model...
I'm not sure what they were looking for there.
So we think you're probably crazy.
Well, thank you. I was very young, and it just came to a point where they were like, oh, if you want to be successful, you have to lose quite a lot of weight.
Oh, my God.
And it's one of those things, I guess now, obviously because of that, I suffered from, like, body confidence issues. But now... Obviously, I'm learning every day to love myself more and more, but it's something that I want to put out there to my fans, and I'm slowly learning to talk about it and just kind of help anyone who's going through the same things.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's a part of growing up, and it's something that inspires some of my music, even in like Blow Your Mind. It's about being who you are and being happy and comfortable in your own skin, and it all just stems from different things that have happened in my life.
Yeah.
That's great that music has given you the platform to kind of talk to people about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even just that. It's so many different things that have happened in my life that I feel easiest to really get out there through music and being able to write about it, and yeah.
So I guess in a way, like, that, in a weird way, the modeling experience actually kind of helped kind of inform your music career in some kind of fashion, in a way.
The reason I started... modeling was a lot of my friends were doing it, but also it was just like extra money.
And when someone says, hey, would you like to be a model, I'm like, sure, why not? Come on.
And
no one's asked me that on the street. No one scouted me.
Not yet.
Still a chance. There's still a chance.
And it's god, I can't even remember what I was about to say, but
we were saying something important about how it informed your music career.
I was already posting covers up online, so for me it felt like another way that I could get my music out by, like, meeting so many different people in the industry and kind of just being like, oh, check out my songs.
Like, I model and I've got stuff on SoundCloud.
Yeah, sort of nice. You should check it out.
You should check it out.
But it's, I guess, as much as it pulled my confidence down in some aspects, I was also able to just go out and just talk to different people and just be social.
Yeah. I would imagine that it probably, like, sort of educated you and, you know, enlightened you on, like, the right people to avoid in, like, the business to a certain degree. It's like, okay, now I've gotten the swing of this. Now I kind of know what the music industry might be like. I'm curious, like, what artists inspired you when you were younger and now? Because your music is very pop, but it's... And I'm not trying to categorize you, but it's like there's dance moments, there's poppy moments, there's sort of ethereal ballady moments, there's kind of hip-hoppy moments. You're kind of...
I think there's a lot of diversity over the album, and that's... Well, for one, I don't think genres really exist. I feel like artists are really just putting out things that they love and things that sound good and things that they feel comfortable with. And that
I wasn't trying to make categorize them feel...
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just... you know, everything is very different. Essentially is pop, and it's the music that I've always listened to, and I've never been ashamed of that. Like, I've always loved Nelly Furtado and Pink and Destiny's Child, and, like, my parents at home listened to, like, Stereophonics and Radiohead and Oasis and just, like, so many different things. So I feel like growing up listening to lots of different types of music, I've always known lots of different songs but also loved lots of different types of genres. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to Kosovo when I was 11, which is where my parents are from, over there everybody listened to lots of hip-hop. And my first ever concert I went to was Method Man and Redman.
Wow.
And then
in Kosovo. Wow.
And then it was 50 Cent, and then it was Snoop Dogg. Actually, somewhere in between was Chamillionaire.
So all the shows you ever saw in Kosovo were hip-hop shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I loved it. It was something that really inspired me, and I loved really hearing their stories, and you felt like you got to know them a bit more. And then I guess now I love J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole's one of those artists where when you listen to his lyrics, you really feel like you get an insight into his life. Mm-hmm. And the kind of descriptiveness, the storytelling is something that I really admire, that I want in my music to kind of have like a story behind it, but then for it to essentially be pop. And I've been describing it as dark pop, and someone who does dark pop really well is Sia. Mm-hmm. Where I feel like you really understand a part of her life, but it's still a big pop song with a big pop chorus.
And right.
Yeah. That's...
Well, that explains the wide range of like... genres and influences.
It's a little bit of everything.
Right. I'm also picturing you at 12 years old, like, going to, like,
a Chamillionaire.
A Chamillionaire show. Sure.
I love it.
Well, you're going on your first North American headlining tour, which, mm-hmm. By the time this airs, people, the tour will have just started.
Okay, cool.
So it started February 24th, and it runs through March 17th. And then you're playing Bonnaroo and Governor's Ball this summer, which we assume is probably the tip of the iceberg. Then maybe there could be more festivals. We don't know down the road. Who knows? There could be more. What's the best part about playing live for you?
Playing live is one of my favorite things to do. And I think I feel like I can really let go, and it doesn't matter. So many people actually comment saying that every time they watch me perform live, it looks like I'm dancing on my own in my room.
That's a compliment.
That's a good thing.
Where I completely let go. It doesn't really matter what kind of moves you're doing. You're just in the moment. And it's so nice to get to share it with so many different people. And to get to go out, I know this might sound cliche, but really seeing other people sing your songs back to you and having that moment to share that with somebody else who, I don't know, my fans, and I feel like every artist will probably say this, but it's so exciting to have someone care about something or be as excited as you for your own music. And the reason that I get to do all these things and go on tour to so many different places in America, first of all, which is so far from home, I guess, for me, in a way, is really exciting, and it's all because of my fans.
What was your first performance that you ever did when you started in music?
First performance.
Like, is it like a coffee house gig? Or is it just like, get out there and be a pop star?
It was, I think, like a label showcase.
Okay.
And it was in Berlin. And like 300 people had showed up. And I was absolutely terrified.
That's a big first
show.
I mean, I
still get really scared before I go on stage. But the second I'm on stage, it's fine. And to some extent, that was kind of what happened the first time I performed, except when I was in the middle of my set, I was singing a song called Thinking About You, and nothing came out. Like, I just choked up, and I felt like I couldn't breathe, so I had to just turn around to my band. I was like, we just got to stop, and my drummer, who's also my musical director, he was like, no, 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 no. I was like, no, we have to stop. But yeah, I mean,
it's terrifying.
Yeah,
it was showcase too.
Yeah.
It was terrifying, but it was kind of funny because everyone found it endearing.
Oh, that's good.
But I was terrified.
And everything worked out. You're still, I'm assuming, was this a Warner showcase? Are you still,
this was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm you're still on the label. Everything's fine. You're still with them. So it all worked out just fine. They clearly found it endearing.
Yeah. It all worked out. It worked. It was actually my plan.
It was the plan all along. That will be the story that you use in the future. It's my plan all along.
No, but it was really amazing, and it just felt so good. I think nothing compares to the feeling you get the second you come off stage, and nothing compares to the feeling before you go on stage, the kind of butterflies and the anticipation and the nerves and excitement and everything all in one is really special. So I remember when I took a little break from performing, and then I went back and did another show. And I got those butterflies, and I was like, oh, I missed this feeling. So, yeah.
You're in the right business then, clearly.
Yeah.
We actually had Sean Paul in a couple days ago to record the podcast.
Okay, cool.
Conveniently enough.
Yeah.
And he said that you added so much to the No Lie single, and that you sounded amazing on the track.
He had nothing but like nothing, the kindest words about
lovely,
you.
Lovely, lovely things to say, yes, about you.
That's so sweet.
Go ahead, sorry.
He's so cool. You know, you have this kind of idea of Sean Paul as this, I don't know, it's just, he's such a massive performer. And he's such a big artist, and I've listened to his music since I was very young. And to have the opportunity to get to collaborate with him, first of all, without even having met each other to begin with, and then just getting to hang out and just chat to him, and he's just so down to earth and so humble and just really, really sweet. So it was an absolute pleasure working with him.
We discovered that. I mean, we were expecting like Sean Paul, and then he got here and he was like so nice and cool, yeah. And like,
yeah,
just,
I mean,
like,
he's been
chatting.
Doing this for like 2 decades and has like 4 number 1 hits, and like, he's just, yeah, he was just the coolest,
just so chill,
laid
yeah.
back, yeah.
And he also said, like, in the video, he's just like, man, she was like strutting it, and we're like, well, you did pretty good too in the strut. And he's like, you know. Well, I mean, we could keep you here like forever, frankly, because there's so much to talk about, but we need to let you go at some point. Well. Go check out Dua Lipa on tour in February and March in America, on festivals this summer. Pre-order the album if you're in the UK, and then just look for it in America in June. Yep. Just do whatever you can and go see her. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. If you like the way I talk, then why am I on your mind?
If you like the way I rock, then finish your glass. Thanks again to the fabulous Dua Lipa. I remember hearing... I can't remember what song it was of hers first. It might have been Blow Your Mind. I was just like struck by her voice.
Yeah.
And then I started to listen to her other songs, and I'm like, I really like the diversity of the songs.
Her music is really cool.
It's just very cool.
Really cool.
And it's thoroughly, it's definitely pop, but there's like,
there's an alternative edge.
There's alternative, but then there's kind of like R&B, but mm-hmm. then there's kind of like rhythmic elements, there's kind of hip-hop elements.
Which her very diverse background kind of makes sense
yeah.
with that.
I mean, you know, she was going to like hip-hop shows when she was like a kid in
50
Europe.
50 Cent.
50 Cent, like, it was just nuts. So definitely be on the lookout for her album when it comes out, and make sure to check her out on all of her socials, of course. And that's about it. It's been a busy, jam-packed show full of Oscar talk and Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
Yes.
I was joking. I'm like, oh, well, maybe
maybe in all this hubbub about City of Stars coming back on the or hitting the charts, mm-hmm. and you know, Can't Stop the Feeling having a big gain perhaps next week on the charts, will we see any of Warren Beatty's music, perhaps his duet with Madonna on Now I'm Following You from the Dick Tracy soundtrack? Will that make an impact? Probably not.
If Keith personally buys enough copies, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe we should go out on that song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously. Now the people need it.
Clearly that was a setup. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Might be falling out of rhythm. Don't know what I'm doing with them.